Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Hey, hey!
I don't care how many times I hear that, but it still makes me giggle. Yeah, I'm five years old. I don't care. I'll never grow up.
I know. It's a blast. So, what have you been up to? It has been a whole week since we've actually been able to get on here and do some recording. So,
I took the plunge. I have signed myself up for the dog days of podcasting again.
Excellent.
One of them, I promised one of my buddies, I promised Peter that I would, it's like, yes, minis. Yes, I'll talk about, you know, what it's like to do minis and, you know, maybe like a reflection after I've painted something. And then I realize, wait a minute, when I do painting, it's kind of cool. I kind of like zone out a little bit. It becomes kind of like this Zen thing going on. I'm like, oh shit, then I'm not going to remember what I was doing.
Yeah.
But what I'm probably going to be thinking about is like, okay, what's changed since last year? And I'm still unpacking from Origins. And I'm buying more stuff for Gen Con and next year's Origins. And yeah. I'm making sure all of my stuff folds up this time.
Speaking of which, I need to remember to send you the box of business cards so that people at Gen Con can possibly find them and get a hold of them.
Yep. I actually cracked open my musical instrument cases, Leonard, Igor, and George. They're my B flat, my A, and my bass clarinet, and I oiled them. I still don't know if I'm going to have the guts to go and actually record at Sirenscape.
You better. That's all I have to say. We had him on the show.
That's why I want to do it. But then it's just like, he's going to look at me and he's like, wait, you? I'm like, oh, crap. Do I have enough reads? I have never freaked out this much. And I have performed internationally and I haven't been this scared.
Don't worry about it. You're going to do fine. and Ben is such a nice guy.
Oh, he's a doll. He's awesome. He's cool.
Yeah,
he's
I'm kind of jealous.
From Sirenscape.
I'm kind of jealous that you get to meet him before I do. Like, shake his hand.
Do you want me to pull him up? Do you want me to hit you up on Skype when I do this?
That would be funny.
Actually, I will text you. I'm walking up, and I'm like, hey, we'll do like a Skypey thing, and you know, you can wave and shit.
We could theoretically do that.
Yeah.
That might be fun.
Yeah. So, I apologize.
If we do that, though, I'm going to save that, I'm going to try to save that video file, and I'll put it up as a Patreon thing.
Or, you know, either that, or it's like, you know, hey, subscribe to the podcast, support us on Patreon, and you can watch Jules make an ass out of herself live.
Go right
ahead. You know, because Zippy's probably going to be there. I might give him the video camera. It's just like, you know, everyone is just like, no, don't do anything stupid. Here, hold my beer. And then you got me going, Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I am going to talk to your husband and make him record it because he will for me.
I know he will. He's all up for, you know, making my life a little bit uncomfortable, even though he still loves me and all that cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He has promised me something. We are going to cosplay at Gen Con.
What are you doing?
All right, because we're going to the there's a Shadowrun panel thing that we're going to. So he is going a zippy toe tag in the full suit with the you know that leather hat, that kind of Western hat he's got?
Yep.
Wearing that, he's going to have his hair all the way down, kind of like all slicked. You know how long his hair is?
Yes, it's like it's glorious how long his hair is. I know,
he's got that. Like at I'm not kidding, at Origins, people were like, oh, check out his hair, and he would pull the hair tie out, and he'd just do like the because I'm worth it hair shake, and I'm like, bastard. So we're actually going as Rainbow Smite and Zippy Toe Tag.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of my buds, who I love to death, has said, oh, you gotta get yourself a plushy hellhound. I'm like, where do you find a plushy hellhound?
That is a good question.
I know. It's not something I ever thought I'd ask myself.
Maybe Think Geek might have something like that. Or,
I've been looking, so I'll find something. The other one I'm attempting to put together is a cosplay for Bendy. It was Bendy and the Ink Machine. I got one of those morph suits. It's all black.
Yeah.
You know, covers even my face. And I'm like, that thing actually is comfortable and it breathes. So I'm like, hell with that. I don't have to make anything. I'll just wear the suit. You don't have to wear anything underneath it. It's comfortable. It breathes. I'm like, I can just go the whole con like this. No one knows who I am.
Yeah.
I am the mysterious short black figure. You know, because the blue hair kind of makes me a little identifiable.
It does.
So how about you? What did you do, man?
There is some very big news that is going to be coming. I'm not going to actually reveal it this episode. It's going to be next episode.
You're
is when it actually gets revealed. But something is in the works. And if things go the way I'm hoping they do, it will be something really good for the show.
And for you and for me and for us and happy times.
In a big way, it may be a really good thing for the show.
Yep. But no, with you, dude, you know, it's summertime, 4th of July.
Well,
did you see anyone light themselves on fire?
I did not, but I had a house full of 5 and 6 year olds. Because my daughter's birthday was this weekend.
Oh. Yay, happy birthday.
She finally hit 6.
Successful solar orbit. Yeah, successful solar orbit, dude. Something to be celebrated. Especially with kids. They find the weirdest ways to try and kill themselves.
Yeah.
Especially around the 4th of July.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we did a lot of stuff with her for her birthday. Like did this, like, you know, like drapings in the garage so that everything was hidden behind purple and black. It was monster hide out. I have no interest in any of that, but she loved it. And she had a bunch of friends come over. And the scarier part was when they opened up all the presents and she got nothing but like Barbies and monster high dolls. That was all she got.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took, there were 12 kids and they crammed themselves into her bedroom. She has a 10 by, I think it's smaller than a 10 by 10 room.
Oh my.
And she has one of those like.
It's about the size of the library when you were over here, about that big.
Yeah.
Because that's an 8.
Yeah, it's somewhere about that. But she has like a full-size bed.
And oh, my gosh.
And she has one of those like 4 foot tall, like monster high schools that like opens up and everything.
Kind of like a dollhouse on steroids. Yeah,
sort of. Think more like the old Barbie, like
the Barbie dream house fold out thing.
Yeah. Where it like opened up and then you could like move stairways out of the way. And
yeah, I wanted to spray paint that black and gray and turn it into like a super duper like spy layer because you can move all the stuff.
Well, that's why she has Monster High.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she got, that was, you know, she had all these kids like in that one little room for like an hour.
Oh my God.
And it was like, and then people started leaving and it was just like, holy cow, how were there so many kids in that one little bitty room?
And they're kids, dude. They're they will find a way.
Oh, they did. And like it was good. Like there were no like arguments, no fighting, which is impressive.
Fun all the way around, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, so that's you pulled off a kid's birthday. Rock on, man.
Yeah, it was tough, but we did it.
Yep, and you celebrated a birthday. I am not saying how old you are, it's just that you're older than me.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to say it.
Mine's in 4 weeks, so you know.
I am almost 45.
And I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
God, I will be the closest you can be to 40 in about a month.
Yeah.
Blech. Old. Yeah. Get off my lawn.
I started doing that when I was like 25.
You've always been old then, haven't you?
I am crotchety. Most people, by listening to this, you would never believe it. But if you know me.
Yes. You are crotchety, but can tap that sense of fun and innocence and joy when you want to. But it's only actually, when you want to.
Yeah. It's actually really funny because one of the players in my group, she started listening to the show.
Oh, no.
And she said, it's so funny to hear
you. She'll learn the
secrets. Well, no, she's like, it's so funny to hear you on there and talking because I know you and you're way quieter than this, like all the time. So like not hearing you, like, you know, you're fairly gregarious on the show. Like you're pretty loud sometimes. And I said, well, yeah, but that's because I fiddle with the audio and I level things. So everybody sounds about the same volume. And she goes, no, but you talk a lot in this sometimes. And I was like, not even with everybody else. And she's like, well, yeah, but I don't know. It seems like you talk a lot in there.
That fits. It fits.
And I'm like, I'm a game master. That's why.
Yep.
So, well, speaking of game mastering.
Back to the title at hand.
Back to the title at hand, which is
we are going to being a GM.
Being a GM. And because we enjoyed it so much the first time, we're revisiting one of our topics that we talked about. And that is the GM library, which is the books, either nonfiction or fiction or
somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between of things that are not game books, but things that can help broaden your horizons as a GM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to hit the books that we covered the first time, just by title. I'm not going to go into anything else. So, the last time I talked about Frankenstein, Dune, and Middle Eastern myths. Jules, you talked about, which was interesting, a YouTube show called Extra Credits.
Oh, yeah.
And Fables and Book of Fables.
Mm-hmm.
The
comic and, you know, standard Aesop collections or whatever.
Right. And then you had Null Operations, who is still not back with us yet, but he talked about the Stephen King collection, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and the book The Big Sleep.
I just reread Hitchhiker's Guide.
I'm going to.
Love you. I love you, Noel. get back to 100% health soon.
Yeah.
He's such a hoopy fruit.
He really is. And actually, in about a week, he should be going back in for his second eye surgery.
That means the first surgery went well, necessitating the second one.
Yeah.
Yay! Because if it went bad, he wouldn't need the second.
No, he would not have. So hopefully everything goes well with the second one. Our thoughts are with you, man.
Yeah.
So those were 9 really good jumping off points for books that should be in various GM collections. Mm-hmm. So
it's a topic so nice, guys. We're doing it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've said this before. This one in particular, we will probably go back to the well on several times. Because there's a lot of good books out there. So, Jewel, what's your first book?
Oh, wait, I gotta start this? Okay.
To start it. So I've been talking a lot, so I figured.
Yeah, you got a better voice. That's why, man. All right. The thing is that, I'll be honest, guys, I've been agonizing and freaking out. It's like, oh, you know, Hero of 1,000 Faces, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I realize it's like, you know what? What do I really go for? And I remember one of the ones is called Badass. Not kidding, the book, and it's actually part of a series, but the first book is called Badass. A relentless onslaught of the toughest warlords, Vikings, samurai, pirates, gunfighters, and military commanders to ever live. Not kidding, that's what it's called. And it's amazing because it goes into the stories of El Cid. It goes into the stories of Nikola Tesla. And here's the cool thing. I was trying to come up with ideas for a Deadlands character. And in there is Bass Reeves, the biggest badass from the Wild West that you will ever consider. And the descriptions are done kind of like war story, tall tale, kind of like the guy went in and he shot the guy in the face, you know, and then probably went home to bang his wife and didn't even worry about it. I mean, it's done with such, it's vulgar, but it's still a great story. And it's done in the way where it makes it come alive. It makes it, it's like, this is the kind of guy that would, you know, this guy could put Chuck Norris to shame. And I say that with no disrespect to Chuck Norris. Please don't kill me.
Well, you
but
know
they
what?
Go though, through, the thing like, is, like, yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, they go through, like, Alexander, and they go through, it's amazing. And some of these are characters I didn't know about. I can't remember one of the guy who was, a bow and, off the top of my head, but it was a bow and arrow fighter, I think, in World War I. There was, like, Russian snipers. And it's amazing. And you read these, and you're like, you get this idea in your head of, and these are all real people. These aren't like, you know, just tall tales and legends. These are all real. So it's just like, all right. And you're reading it and you're like, you know, it gives you a wonderful template of people that actually existed. And then you can build off of it for whatever the hell you want. But it's like, no, some of these fantastic stories, no, that kind of stuff, like Bass Reeves was, you know, he worked for, I don't know if it was the Pinkertons or the Rangers, but he had the highest number of, like, people that he brought in. Huh. And he'd been shot at, like, I want to say 6 to 8 times, and he was never hit. The worst thing he got was somebody hit his hat.
Oh, I'm wow.
Like, yeah, but the thing is, like, that's a real dude, and these are his real exploits, and he's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. You
that's
know.
Cool.
So I'm sorry. I love that book, and it's, you know, it kind of lets you feels like, yeah, how over the top you can get with some of your NPCs, because it's like,
well, the whole adage of truth is stranger than fiction.
True. You know, like Nikola Tesla, he went and is like, this guy was crazy. The dude built an earthquake machine. I wonder if he was bored. Well, he was in New York, you know.
He had figured out how to make like a death ray.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a supervillain that was never a supervillain.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, but they went into all the there's, and it's not just military. It's not just war. These are just badass people. And you're like, you know, and the writing style is just delightful. It's, you can't help but just smile when you read these.
Yeah.
So I think Emperor Pasha's in there too, but I'll have to check. I have to reread it. And there's a couple really other cool books in this series, but pick up the first one. At least either that or check it out from the library or something. It's an entertaining read.
Well, so, that's really cool.
Come on, you got a bunch. What's yours?
Okay. This is going to sound really, I am a huge fan of world building, as anybody that knows me knows.
Yeah.
So a lot of my books are things that are inspirational, mm-hmm, in ways. So I have, in my own actual physical collection, I have found that there is, if you can find art books, preferably art books that are not things like, this is such and such's artwork, but more of the Spectrum is a perfect example. It's the contemporary science fiction and fantasy art by year. And those books, you will see there's book covers. And for books that you've probably never read, for game system stuff, for just whatever, people get into these. And these are, Spectrum in particular is a fairly prestigious book to get a piece of artwork put into. But I also have books, like art books, that are just one artist.
Ooh.
Like, I have a copy of Maximum Black, which is the Tim Bradstreet art book.
I have the H.R. Giger art book. I don't remember what the title is.
Right. But there's several. I mean, you go out and you start looking at art books, and you will find lots of them. I think Ed Beard has a couple of art books out. There's a lot. But art books can really, they can inspire something from as simple as like, oh, I need to have a picture reference for, you know, this NPC that I'm going to use. Here it is, you know, and then you can find it online and, you know, copy and paste it and use it wherever you need to. But if you use an art book like that, you can go really far with art, because that old adage of a picture's worth 1,000 words, most pictures are worth more than 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't have to sit down and explain meticulously something, but you can say, it's kind of like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 words is not going to convey the same level of emotional buy-in or just connection that somebody can make with a piece of art. So
that's true.
I blame being raised by an artist and also wanting to be an artist as a kid.
The thing is like, I've got no artistic ability, and while I can get art, can't like paintings and what have you, usually can't do that, but the written word for me can. Yeah. I can get a framework from a picture. I'll get the emotion in words. And it's probably, you know, like I said, my stick figures have polio and I really don't have much of an artist's eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I've loved art books forever. So yeah, go out and get art books.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The thing is like hit up, not, you know, a used bookstore.
I was going to say used bookstores are probably the best place to find those. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and don't just stick with things
or library sales too.
Yeah. Don't just use things like science fiction or fantasy. Also find books on like classical art.
Oh yeah.
Because
you know, a book of Monet is not, I, you know.
Yeah. I mean, anything, any art books, you know, find them and get your hands on several. They're great pieces.
And the thing is, if you go to like the library and they're doing like the library sales and the book's kind of falling apart, so what? Take the pictures out. You know, we have sliders and we have binders.
Yeah.
Not everyone can bind books like you, Zen, but you know.
Before I learned how to do this, I have a game where we've literally, because the binding falls apart, we literally took a binder with slip pages and like pulled the pages and just loaded the the binders. So now I still do that if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So what else do you got?
All right. Well, I'm sure it comes as a surprise to nobody that's listening. I am a science nut, big science nut. A book recently came out called The Thing Explainer by Randall Monroe. He's the guy that did XKCD, and he also just came up with a book, which is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen, called What If? You know, like, what would happen if the Earth just immediately stopped spinning or something like that? But The Thing Explainer is probably one of the weirdest books that I've actually had the pleasure of flipping through. It's not, you know, not words upon words. It's mostly illustrations. But it's probably the funniest and actually quite endearing way of describing everything from, you know, oh gosh, you know, like space travel things to parts of a plant, you know, and he's not using the scientific or technical terms. You know, this is the seed grower. And
no, he's using like real world names for things.
Not even that. It would be like if you didn't even, you know, all right, so we'd call it there's the tibia and the fibula and da-da. You know, we call it normally the shin bones. You mm-hmm. know, he has much more funnier name for it or something.
Oh, okay.
You know, but the thing is, like, the way he uses those words, yes, they're very simple and they're charming and they're kind of silly, but you can't not, it'll almost forever lock in your mind what that thing that you're looking at is. So, okay. I mean, I love that because in a way, it makes it so, you know, so, and the thing is, like, for me, I was thinking about it when I was reading this, and I'm laughing, and, you know, I'm like, this is delightful, and the art is, it's Randall Monroe's kind of stick figure-y art, and I love it. But what it also did is, like, all right, now imagine, and I was thinking, it's like, oh my gosh, this could be totally used, you know, like, Zen loves world building. I like building people. I like building monsters. I like building things that can and would lie to you, you know, consciously. But the thing is, though, I'm like, all right, imagine if you get somebody and, all right, and you're playing, I'm going to use D&D, and you're playing D&D, and he gets an idea, and he pulls up, like, a map, but he doesn't speak common very well. It's, okay, how would you explain what you're pointing at on a map to him? If using very, very basic and then conveying the idea of what that is too, And I'm like, this kind of a combination of just simple and charming and what happened, I'm like, this could be used, you know? I mean, I don't have the artistic ability that you do, Zen, but pulling up a map and then having, you know, this is yeah, like this is the patch of itching and weeping. It's the poison ivy.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But, you know, the way that it's done, and it's just, I was blown away by it because it's, you won't forget, you might forget, okay, the official name. You know, the fibula and the tibia, the fibula and the tibia. Okay, which one is which? But you're going to remember shin.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he found the right words to convey what it does. Not the official name, but what it does. And it's done with his artwork. So, you know, treasure map. Think about that, you know. Yeah. So it kind of was like an inspiration-y thingy for me.
That's cool.
Yeah, I have to let you'll lose your mind. I will. Next time I'll see you, I will make sure I have that book. I think you'd love it. And I know you like science stuff too, so.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy that. So my book is, again, because I love philosophy and thinking about things, and I've read a lot of classical philosophy, because when you study philosophy, you kind of start there. And you usually start with Western philosophy because that is what they usually teach in colleges in the US, unless you specifically take classes to teach you Eastern philosophy. So ever since I was a kid, I've always had a very strong affinity towards the myths of Europe and that section of the world, which is, you know, classical Western mythology. You need to have a book somewhere that talks about just some of each of the different regions of the world when these myths were believed to be the truth. And so, you know, like the stories of creation by the Greeks is going to be different than the one from the Celts and from the Norse. But they all may have bits that you can use. And that's one of the reasons why I love them is that you can pull out ideas and stories from those old myths that you can then use in a game or, you know, in your world building, whatever you want to do with them, your adventure writing. I mean, you can base entire adventures off of some of the myths.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
I mean, is it only like the Western, or are you actually getting into some of like Indian and like Journey to the West and stuff?
This one is just because those are all separate. I'm a firm believer. Like, that's why I said, like in the first one, I said one that was Middle Eastern myth. So like Persian myths, you know, like the whole cradle of civilization, like all of that, and Arabic, that is a whole different area. Then you've got Eastern and you've got Indian, you've got American, you know, Indian myths, and you've got, you know, Central American and South America. I mean, everywhere, all of these old cultures all had myths. And yeah, you should be reading all of those. But this is, because the first one I said, hey, do like Middle Eastern, because it's not the white Anglo myths that most of us know.
Oh yeah, but it's
in the first one. But this time it was like, I think you should have those, but you should also have like the foundational ones that we in America know from European, because that's where most Europeans ended up, was in America when they migrated out, you know? And so, yeah, so some of those stories came along and they've, you know, colleges and everything else used to teach them. So yeah, eventually you should pick up books on all of the myths that you can get your hands on. But I figured this one should be just kind of simple and keep it classical Western myths.
Oh yeah. No, I just, in a way that kind of ties into my next book.
Well, what is it?
It's called Zeus Grants Stupid Wishes, a No Bullshit Guide to World Mythology.
Okay. I agree.
You know, it's like I said, I a lot of my stuff here has a little bit more of a funny, silly bend, because while, you know, serious stuff is important, I find out I actually learn better when it engages me on kind of the more like, you know, 5-year-old poop humor kind of level from time to time. Not that everything's poop humor, but you know what I mean. It's just like, you said butts. But
yeah,
even the table of contents, you know, the first thing, introduction, parentheses, right after the table of contents, dumbass. And it goes through, and it's not just Greek and Roman myths, okay? You get Viking, you get Germanic tribe, it's all over. But it's the, done with sarcasm and face planting is like, okay, so a guy turns into a golden shower and now you're pregnant. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff. Or, you know, how just, but it's done with this kind of cynical sarcasm and I love it. It's just, you know, rather than just, the crazy, you know, just hearing the stories, there's a sarcasm commentary you get under it. So it's also, if you're playing in a game where, you know, you come across something and it's you're like, you believe flying spaghetti monster? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it treats every mythology with some, because no mythology is without the, you're kidding, right? Kind of a story, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I love it because the stories are still engaging as heck, even if you're hearing them for the first time, and it'll tell you like who wrote it and where to go find it, but it's there's summary with sarcasm. And
yeah, that's cool.
You know, so in a way it treats all these myths, you know, with, you know, they're true. All right, they're not, the myths aren't true, but these are the stories, but you're read by Sarcastro from The Tick.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it. It's funny. You know, the first thing is Kronos likes to eat babies.
Well, yes, he did.
Yes, but technically he's right. Oh.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it goes. So, and it only, right. My opinion, it just gets better.
That's cool. Yeah, because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
So, oh boy.
What do you got? What do you got?
So we go from fairly fun and silly to my last book for this time is The Art of War.
Sun Tzu?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
because there's a book called The Art of War and it has different types of art from people reflecting different war times. I have seen that.
This is the Sun Tzu, the philosophy of war and warfare.
Yeah. I know that it was just, you had art books before, and I was wondering I actually had to double check to see if this one was, because it was a collection of art reflecting different wars that, you know, jar paintings and stuff.
This is the actual philosophical writings of Sun Tzu. And there are interesting concepts that you can take, especially in games, because what you can do is you could have somebody that is a firm believer in this is the right and only way to do warfare is by this. And while in a lot of ways that's an oversimplification of what should probably be the case, you can also use this book for ideas of how people can view some of these unique elements and how they would use them. Because using all of them, for most games, you never need to worry about it. But you may have a dude who lives by one of these philosophies, points.
Or tenets, I almost see.
Yeah. And you can use those as ways to build NPCs or other things. Or you can even use them as guiding principles of cultures. So.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and here's the thing though, by following the Art of War, and it doesn't mean the character has to be
a warrior, even.
No. No, it's like, all right, the soldier from Team Fortress 2 is probably the biggest dumbass in all the games. He's like, if fighting is sure to result in victory, then you must fight. Sun Tzu said that. And I think he knows a little bit more about war than you do because he invented it. Then he perfected it. And then, till no man could beat him on the field of honor. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Guy's still following it, but he doesn't have to be like this big, smart, you know,
no, you
General
don't.
Patton type character. So FYI, you can use it for that.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because serious, or like I said, you went serious, I went funny, and I...
Yeah, well, and that's the beauty of it is that even though it is a very serious book, you can use it however you need to. And that's how all books should be looked at, is you take something that could be a very slapsticky type of book mm-hmm. and make it into something serious by just changing the perspective on it just a touch. And a lot of times that's all it takes. So, but I think that wraps up our collection of books. So it is time to move on to our next segment.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
Woohoo! Lexicon! All right, so this is an unfair one because of where you live.
What do you mean where I live?
You're about to find out. Now, the word this time is Bruin.
As in Boston? father-in-law's from there.
Do you know what a Bruin is?
Bear.
Yes, it is.
I'm
a hockey person.
I'm not.
I am.
But but the thing is, like, I know it because of my father-in-law. If you ever seen it, there's like a little bear under Bruins on the logo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only reason I know.
Do you know why? Do you know where the etymology and origin of the word Bruin is?
Kind of. I mean, I I don't know where it was from. I thought it might be like Austrian or something, but I don't think so.
It is actually Middle Dutch.
Okay.
And it is the name of the bear in a book called Renard the Fox.
Wasn't that French?
No, it was Dutch, apparently.
Okay. Good. Meh.
Yeah. So its first known use is the 15th century.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not a new word. So, but yeah, that's the, it's a fairly simple one this time.
It's so cool, though.
It has one definition, you know. It's just a word that was adopted into the language, and it's been used quite successfully since then, so.
Yeah, like a English language, I'll be honest, is like nothing is ever just English. It came from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty much the way of most language. If you go back far enough, it all comes from something else. Which is why we talk about the origins and etymology of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, I think... Now, normally we would go into our stat block, but we have both had crazy, crazy week.
And it's been over 100 degrees
yeah,
for both of us.
It has. And I'm pretty beat, but I am hoping to have next week to be a little more back in the swing and be able to get something put together for the show next week. But yeah. And I'll hopefully be able to talk about my game that we played.
Go on.
I got started back up doing my own homebrew Pathfinder game.
Yay!
Yeah, and it's going to be going into the Underdark, and which in my world is called Midnight Below.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I'm slowly building out the elements that I need for the game, and some of that is going to show up in stat block stuff. Like earlier when I did some of those like cave like vignette maps and stuff like that, those I'm going to end up using. I'm also, like, for this next session, they're going to be receiving a letter because of something that they did in the first actual adventure part that they did. This was something that came up and is now going to come back and haunt them.
Ha! Awesome.
So, yeah, and I'll whenever we do that, I'll put together some pictures for that to show people, but so, all right, we're going to just go ahead and roll into our closing remarks. And Jules, what you got?
All right. We recently just had the Steam summer sale, which I spent way too much, but it was worth it. I don't know about you, but I picked
up...
I
didn't spend anything.
Well, I picked up this gem called Pony Island.
Okay.
It is neither about ponies. It's not really about islands either. It's probably one of the weirdest kind of metagames that I've ever played, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Cool thing is, aside from a couple bits with the keyboard, you just play with the mouse.
Okay.
You know, it's simple, at least controller-wise, but I'm not going to get into the plot. I'm not going to get into... It's probably one of the most interesting and weird game concepts I have played in a long, long time. So if you're up for a mind fuck, yeah, pick it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while at Origins, my wife and I ran across a very interesting booth. And the name of the company is called Crit Success.
Okay.
And what they sell are, you know how there's this whole big thing with fidget spinners and stuff?
Yeah. I have so one. That and buckyballs.
It's not a fidget spinner. What it is they make rings that you can, they have a spinning centerpiece. And they have, like, most of the types of dice. But it's as a cards. Ring.
I saw the playing card one at tarot. Origins. What?
Yeah, they have a tarot one. I also have a Futhark, which is the Norse runes. So my wife and I got matching runic ones.
All right, I'm at the... Oh my gosh, they have a rock, paper, scissors ring.
Yeah. They have a rock, paper, scissors Spock.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, it's really cool. These guys were amazing. And yeah, it's... They were not joking. Like when I got mine, it was kind of scratchy. It didn't spin super well.
Yeah.
And they say the more that you play with it, the more smooth it gets because you're wearing off the like burrs that might be inside or any of the manufacturing mm-hmm. imperfections. And like you can literally wash it.
Really?
Like I've washed mine like all the time because I wear mine constantly. And they have like if you do anything to the ring, they will replace it, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. And I've scratched mine because it's all like anodized. Like the colors and stuff are like anodized colors. So it's really hard to mess those up. But because I, you know, because of working in and out, climbing in and out of a vehicle throughout the day, I've scratched mine a couple of different times, and I've actually considered waiting until like the end of the year to say, hey, my ring is kind of dinged up. Can I replace it? Here, I'll send you mine. Because my wife and I we're horrible about getting like our original wedding bands. Mine is gone somewhere, like it flew off my finger in a snowstorm one day, and then I've broken another one, and then I've had a couple, like another one that was latex or rubber, like the rubber ones, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and those make your finger really weird if you wash your hands with them. And then I've got this one, which I can just wear it like a normal ring. And I wear it almost every day now. Whoa. I haven't worn a wedding ring in years. And I wear this like all the time now.
Really?
Yeah. And I love it. It's so cool. So, yep. So yes, if you get a chance, go out and get one from these guys because they're pretty awesome. So, boom. So, all right, folks, we are running a little bit long. Can you imagine if Null had been here for this?
he's got the Library of Doom here.
I know. Well, we all do. If you start looking at a lot of those are both all of ours. So, all right. Well, I guess we will see you guys all next week. And at which point I will then reveal the big, big surprise that is coming to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until next time, folks.
See you later.
Roll some dice.
You
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zended,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at Zended@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at Jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at NullOperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.